Okay. This is KLLG LP 97.9 FM, Willits, California, and I am Greg Schindel, train singer, and we are now boarding the Bipolar Express. Chug, 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 chug up the hill. A puffin' and a chuggin', you know the engine will reach the summit and go down the other side. Whoopee! What a ride. Clickety clackety, clickety clackety, glue. Oh boy! Hey! And whoa, whoa, way! Whoopee! And welcome aboard the Bipolar Express yourself right here on the BPE. For the next hour, we'll be cruising around Little Lake Valley and beyond. And oh, people, you have to agree with me when the rain, oh, the wonderful rain falling leaves, oh, the joyous sounds of the water warbling in the creeks, warble, warble. When the bird catches a bug on the bark of a tree, and a shadow of a hawk floats by your knee, will you steal into the garden? Will you steal into the garden? Will you steal into the garden and hear the pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter of the rain again? Owl is flying by your side and sitting on the line when you go by. Will you steal into the garden? Will you steal into the garden? Will you steal into the garden and hear the pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter of the rain? When the owl is sitting on the line, calling your name when you go by, will you steal into the garden? Will you steal into the garden? Steal into the garden and hear the pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter of the rain again and hear. Hey, and we hope we do continually hear that pitter patter pitter patter pitter patter pitter patter down the deluge. Well, yes, you know, I mentioned briefly last week that my wife and I got a puppy last Thursday, and of course we named him Booker. There's a story behind that, but I'm not going to tell it right now. And he's for those of you who ask, he's a McNab and a Belgian Shepherd, a Malinois. It sounds Belgian. And he's just the cutest joy. I didn't realize how much touch and affection I had pent up, right? What a relief to have this little spirit here. So in celebration of our new baby, a dog baby, of course. There's a big difference. But I'd like to share, again, I say, did this about a year ago. I'd like to share some of the railroad dog stories today because, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Excuse me. Oh, my.
There's no excuse for that, Gregory. You're on the radio.
I know, but it just came over me. Again, you know, it'll be story time with Train Singer. So kick back. Don't expect me to, you know, go crazy today. And with my music, it drives me out of my mind. But I'm okay about that right now. So, look. Many of us already know about our Willett's own Boomer Jack. I mean, I've read the book. I've told the story. So you should remember. And he is buried here in Willett. So that kind of, he's kind of ours now. So I've learned about railroad dogs and from Lincoln Killian's book, Boomer Jack, Northwestern Pacific Railroad Dog. And so I'm going to sing a little bit of Boomer Jack right now just to see if I can remember it. And it's all for the dogs today, folks. All for the dogs and Train Singer. I am Train Singer today. Greg, he's just sitting here just loving me, aren't you?
Oh, yes, Train. Oh, if you had your uniform on, stop it.
Okay. Boomer Jack, Boomer Jack, got his head out the cab, his ears blowing back. Woo. Boomer Jack, woo, clickety-clack, a vagabond dog, that Boomer Jack. All the Northwestern Pacific, in the days of log and steam, Boomer Jack, that railroad dog, first walked on the scene. Like those drifting train men, old Boomer earned his name. All the train folk that he messed, no master did he claim. You know, had a free pass to ride any train along the track, from the Humboldt on the Red Roads, 3,000 miles of open track. About 300. All the way to Sausalito and then up north and all the way back. Wow, I gotta say, Boomer Jack. Boomer Jack got his head out the cabs. Ears blowing back, Boomer Jack. Clickety-clack, a vagabond doggy, that Boomer Jack. You know, Boomer Jack, he's not the only dog riding along the rails. All had names. They all had tails. There was Little Hawk and Oney and Admiral Dewey, just a few of those American railroad dogs and the train folk that they knew. And there was Roxy and Patty from Santa Fe and Railroad Jack. All railroad dogs in the history of the track, but that old Boomer Jack, he traveled farther and covered far more miles than any railroad dog had ever rode. That's right. But Boomer Jack ran out of steam in old Willett's town. Train folk came from miles and miles around. Buried in the train yard, watched over by his friends. Boomer Jack lived a dog alive right up to the end. Boomer Jack, Boomer Jack, hit out the cab, his ears blowing back. Boomer Jack, woo, clickety-clack, a vagabond dog, that Boomer Jack. He's just a doggone vagabond, that Boomer Jack. Well, you can tell I haven't played that song for a little while in the room. But who would know? Who would know that I? Anyway, hey, in this particular book, you know, Lincoln Killian, he wrote about Boomer Jack, but he was a research librarian at Humboldt State University, and I'm sure he must have read about those dogs that he mentioned in his book, and I mentioned in the song, like Roxy and Patty and Little Hop and Oney and Admiral Dewey and Santa Fe Jack and Railroad Jack. So I thought it might be fun today, because I I just kind of wonder if Boomer Jack was all that Lincoln said he was, or just a combination of all these wonderful railroad dogs. It doesn't really matter, does it now?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, why did you bring it up? Okay. So first of all, let's take a look at Santa Fe Jack. No, let me just kind of prelude this with a little thing. You know, ever since flanged wheels began to roll on strap iron rails in the early 1800s, the dog has been Railroad Avenue's favorite pet, judging from the dogs I've seen and the men I've talked with. And the letters I received, there are thousands of mascots in and around depots, switch shanties, crew rooms, offices, signal towers and roundhouses, freight yards, warehouses, repair shops, and on railroads all over North America. Now, the average railroad dog is a stray of doubtful antecedents who wanders into company property and is adopted by one man or a group of workers and makes himself useful as well as companionable. So here's a little bit about Santa Fe Jack. A typical case was Jack, Santa Fe Jack. Now, one hot summer evening, a bleeding, exhausted shepherd pup with sore foot pads indicating he had journeyed a long distance dragged himself into the desert town of Peach Springs, Arizona. The Santa Fe station agent there, A.M. Browning, bandaged the paws and named him Jack. Now, it was nearly a month before the animal could walk and walk normally again, and then the agent started teaching him tricks. And Jack responded quickly. Now, soon the dog was performing a real service. You know, besides chasing an occasional burros or horses from his master's yard, he retrieved order hoops. Now, an order hoop, as any railroad man can tell you, is a lightweight loop with a handle, and in the crotch of which tissue paper train orders are inserted. Now, the agent or telegraph operator, he delivers these orders to trains and do not stop at his station by passing up the hoops to men on the train, one to the engine crew, another to the train crew. And if the train is a doubleheader, three sets of orders are needed. Now, station signal has warned the men in advance to reach out for these hoops, pretty much as carousel riders snatch at the brass ring. The train men then quickly remove the orders and throw back the empty hoops for the agent to pick up and use again. A train rolling 40 or more miles an hour travels quite a distance before the hoops are tossed off. So you can readily figure that Jack saved his master many miles of hiking in a month's time. Now, eventually, Mr. Browning died, and his job was taken over by H.W. Hutchinson, and the bereft dog was given to state policemen. But Jack had become a rail dog, and no rail dog is happy unless he's near the tracks. Well, let Mr. Hutchinson carry on the story from this point. The creature refused to stay with his new owner, Hutchinson recalls. Every morning when I opened the station, I would find Jack waiting patiently to get in, and I'd have to put him out at the closing time. But during the day, he retrieved trade order hoops for me. You just couldn't get rid of a dog like that, so I decided to keep him. Sometimes, just for fun, I remained at my desk when I heard a train coming. Jack would run to the door, look out, then bounce back and grab a hoop by the handle, trying to remind me to deliver the flimsies. Now, if I still failed to go to work, Jack would put his forepaws on my desk and nuzzle my face. He always stood by expectantly when I passed up the orders to the head end. And as soon as both hoops had been picked up by the crew, away he'd dart after them. Sometimes it took him as long as 30 minutes to find the hoops and had been dropped in the weeds, but he invariably brought them back. And if one fell under a train and was broken, well, he's returned with the pieces, one or two at a time. A small roll of newspapers would be tossed off by a train, number 8, each morning, and Jack, he'd catch it, rarely missing, although the train did not slow up when the baggage man threw it. One day, Jack was so intent on catching the papers that he failed to notice a local approaching on the other track. He whirled to snatch the bundle and was hit a glancing blow by the journal box on the head car of the local. And for days thereafter, he could barely walk, but insisted on trying to hobble after the hoops. On another occasion, a drag freight labored slowly up the grade. Jack had already brought in the head end hoop and was waiting to run back for the one at the rear. But instead of flipping off the hoop, the conductor sat on the caboose steps, reading his order. Jack kept pace with the crummy, looking for the hoop. And at last, tired of waiting and seeing the handle protrude several inches above the steps, he made a mighty leap and grabbed the hoop in triumph with his teeth. You know, the dog's reputation spread far and wide. Twice, a Hollywood scout stopped off at my depot and offered me a good price for Jack, whom he wanted to take back to the movie capital. But I said no. Separations from the railroad would have broken Jack's heart. Finally, there came a time when Jack limped home to the station with a bullet wound in his side, and he died almost immediately. Many of us have missed him. And to this day, railroaders working out of Sellingham, Arizona, and Needles, California, would like to catch up with the killer. Now, Jack lies buried near the tracks at Peach Springs. I like to think that he still hears the ground vibrate when a heavy freight struggles up the grade, and that in some faraway place beyond the Big Rock Candy Mountain, his eyes glisten with excitement as he dashes off to chase hoops or retrieve the newspapers each time a train whistles for the board. Well, that is called a little bit of story about Santa Fe Jack. So, let me see. What am I going to do now? Lincoln Killian. I know. I think what I'd like to do is sing a little song here before I go on. Kind of break it up just a little bit, you know, not a lot, but a little bit. And this is kind of probably the only other song I know, only other song I know about a dog. And I guess I heard this one, maybe it was Joan Baez, I don't know.
Well, I had me a dog, his name was Blue. Bet you $5 he a good dog too. I have me a dog named Blue. I bet you $5 he a good dog too. He oh, Blue. You good dog you. Well, I toot my whistle, I blow my horn. Gonna find a possum in the new grown corn. Old Blue barked and went to sea. Caught a possum up in a tree. Oh, yeah. Oh, Blue. You good dog, you. Now that possum clowned down on a swinging limb. Blue barked at the possum, he growled at him. He grinned at me and I looked at him. I shook him out, Blue took him in. Yeah, Blue. Ha, you good dog, you. You know, I baked that possum good and brown. And I laid them sweet potatoes round and round. And Blue wouldn't make your eyes so red. I run them possum till I'm almost dead. Top and dog. While he, oh, Blue, I'm a coming to you.
No blue daddy, that's so home. He shook the ground in my backyard. Old blue daddy laid him in the shade, dug his grave with a silver spade. I'm coming to you home. I load him down with a golden chain. On every link I call his name. Only one thing that bothers my mind. Blue ant to heaven left me. I'm coming to you. Hey, when I get to heaven, first thing I'll do, I'll grab me a horn, blow. Blue. Yeah. And when I hear that old blue bark, blue street opossum in Noah's Ark, yeah. I hear blue. Hey, good dog, you. Well, I have me a dog, name was Blue. I bet you $5 he a good dog, too. Had me a dog, name was Booker. Bet you $5 he a good looker. Here, Booker. Ha ha. Hey, you good dog, you! Woo! Bum, 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 bum. Oh, I love that song, and I was thinking about my doggy the whole way through it, too. Little sweetie jumps all over my head, pulls my beard. Oh, boy, how much fun can an old man have with his dog? I don't know, Gregory. Watch out. All right, stop it. Okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to set my guitar down, get back into storytelling about railroad dogs. Now, that was Santa Fe, Jack. And let me just look ahead here, and we're going to talk about Railroad Jack. Railroad Jack, railroad. I've heard of Railroad Bill, but he wasn't a dog. Okay, I'm turning to 180. There it is. There it is. Oh, Railroad Jack. Another animal. Yes. Another animal that did a lot of traveling was Railroad Jack, a wire-haired terrier. Now, Jack belonged to the New York Central Station Master at Albany and acquired the habit of riding the Beltline between Albany and Troy, New York. Later, he journeyed to New York and Weehawken, New Jersey, and occasionally to Buffalo. Then he visited Chicago by rail and wound up with tours to the Pacific Coast. Generally, he went to the baggage car door and whined until a baggage man opened up. You know, once I boarded a train at Newburgh, New York, reported S.J. Hanna, an old retired Central conductor, and found Railroad Jack in the parlor car looking out a window. Now, ordinarily, dogs aren't allowed in cars that carry passengers, but on this occasion, Division Superintendent Bradfield occupied an adjoining seat, so Jack must have been officially sponsored. Now, occasionally, the terrier climbed up into an engine and cabin row and on the engineer's seat box with his paws on the armrest. In 1889, when I was a station baggage master in Albany, Jack would visit me. But he was full of wanderlust and never stayed long. Often, he carried a piece of coal in his mouth. Now, I don't know why, but if you took that coal away from him, that dog, he would patiently follow you around until you returned it. Now, in 1890, Railroad Jack disappeared for a month. Friends surmised he'd taken another trek to the West Coast, but they guessed wrong. One day, the engineer of a Delaware and Hudson Express, who had often seen the terrier mascot and knew he was missing, was running through a camp of foreign laborers in Upper New York State when he observed a dog tied up. Now, recognizing Jack, he stopped the train and told the crew, who lost no time in rescuing the captive. Now, after that, Jack would snarl whenever an alien workman drew near. And in 1893, one of them killed him with a knife. Oh. The railroaders had their pets' hides stuffed by a taxidermist, and I understand it's long been on exhibition at the Albany Kennel Club. Oh, boy. See what happens to you when you're a railroad DOG. Now, I would like to continue this bit of storytelling today because I just love dogs. This last week with my brand new dog, and it's Greg that allowing me as train singer to come on board and read. And I'm going to play some train songs at the end there that have nothing to do with dogs and everything to do with trains. I want you to remember that this you're riding on the Bipolar Express, and this is KLLG LP97. 0.9, right up here in Willits, California. Can you imagine that?
Yes, I can, Greg. That funny, that tight voice. I'm not really sure where that comes from.
Okay, but now, another dog that was mentioned was called Little Hop. So let's see what they have to say about this dog. For those of you who have been listening to my song over the years about Boomer Jack, I've always mentioned these guys, and this is one time. Well... Yes. Speaking of agility, and apparently a lot of these dogs will jump in and out of cars and up and down, but speaking of agility, reminds me of Little Hop, a white terrier born in the Hills Park Roundhouse of the Nashville, Chattanooga, and St. Louis, Atlanta, Georgia. Now, the terrier got his name from the fact that she used the broad shoulders of Tom L. Couch, yard engineer, as a human ladder in leaping to the ground from the engine cab after their daily ride of about 50 miles back and forth in the yards. Tom was immensely fond of that beast. Why, he'd call her, my girl, and bring her tidbits every afternoon, he reported to work, and bathe her when she got dirty from playing in a coal pile with her two sisters. Now, each day, Little Hop would be waiting for the engineer. And the instant she saw him striding around a curve, she would dart across the maze of tracks like a streak of white and fling herself into his arms. Oh, I heard about that dog from an ex-brakeman friend of mine, Herbert G. Monroe, and had made a point of looking her up one afternoon in August 1943 when I happened to be in Atlanta. Now, she was obviously expecting Engineer Couch at the time and barked loudly when I sought to make friends with her. A few weeks later, the terrier was gone. For years, Herb informed me, Little Hop roamed the yards, dodging engines and cars and riding the cab with Tom without being hurt. Then, like many seasoned railroads before her have done, she took a chance and lost. That day, when Tom came through the yard from his nearby home with food for the animal, Little Hop failed to keep his rendezvous. Oh, the hogger was worried, and he walked on toward the two-story brick building where the engine men reported for their runs, and looking right and left were his pal, occasionally whistling, "Here, girl! Here, girl!" At length, one of the men broke the news. "She's dead, Tom," he said. "Took a nap in the shade of an engine, and her neck lay across the rail, and when the hostler moved the engine, we buried her in a special box in the back of the call office." They all seem to have some sad endings, don't they? Well, they're dogs, and they live around trains. And by the way,
trains are a very dangerous place to be.
Okay, so that's Little Hop. And let's move right along. Now, this is a historical show, by the way, because those of you who have heard Boomer Jack, as I've mentioned, have heard these dogs' names. And Lincoln Killian knew all about these little dogs, too. So, hey, here's another one. This is Oni. Remember that one? And this is on page... I want to let you know that this is coming from Railroad Avenue. Special magazine here. Okay. And I want to thank you, Betty, for giving me this. My good friend Betty, who listens to me every week, whether she wants to or not. No, I'm kidding, Bet. Okay, this is Oni now. Oh, yes. Okay. Or it could be Admiral Dewey. No, let's do Oni first. One night in 1892, a Scotch-Irish Terrier of dubious pedigree appeared in the Albany, New York post office, took up his abode there, and was adopted by the night clerks as, quote, our own dog with the name of Oni, O-W-N-E-Y. I guess it's because they owned it. And yeah, a few weeks later, a railroad mail sorter took him on a round trip to New York, much to the terrier's delight. And from that date on, Oni spent nearly all his time traveling in RPO cars as a mascot. He started out wearing a tag bearing his name and an Albany address, but as he journeyed far and wide in mail cars on various roads, he accumulated a large collection of tags, medals, inscriptions, and postmarks. Now, these were given to him by mail clerks, railway and otherwise, and nearly every state of the Union and province of Canada. On a trip down to Mexico, he acquired a silver peso. Now, at first, these trinkets were attached to his collar, but soon they weighted it down so much that the Postmaster General, John Wanamaker, took pity on Oni and arranged to have a harness made that would support the many decorations. Well, still, the array of souvenirs kept growing, and at length, a sympathetic clerk took off the whole outfit and had it kept in a glass case at Albany. Now, while touring Canada, the celebrated dog was locked up in Montreal for non-payment of his board bill. Now, news of this outrage was flashed to Albany, and the incensed clerks quickly raised the necessary money and brought Oni back home. In 1895, the mascot visited Alaska, and then Yokohama, Japan, where he was awarded a medal by order of the Mikado. By that, Engine 45 is a Mikado, by the way. And on the return trip, he is said to have lost an eye in Hong Kong in a fight with a Chinese dog belonging to the British consul there. He also stopped off at Shanghai, Singapore, Port Said, the Suez Canal, and the Azores, eventually returning to a warm welcome at Albany. He had girdled the globe in 132 days. Wow. The cause of his death is not clear. All I could find out was one day in August 1907, Oni was shot and killed by a guard at the Cleveland General Post Office. One version is that the guard failed to recognize the privileged animal. Probably thought he was mad and was not particularly fond of dogs anyhow. From another source, I learned that the mascot had been run over by a wagon and was shot as an act of mercy. But the news stirred up quite a furor in the Postal Service. Oni had traveled about 143,000 miles, mostly in RPO cars, and had thousands of friends. His pelt was stuffed by a taxidermist, made as lifelike as possible, and mounted on a pedestal with a photograph taken before, you know, sometime before, and the 1,017 medals and other souvenirs that had been bestowed upon him. The stuffed dog is now the property of the Post Office Department Museum. After being exhibited for years at various places, it's now in a storage at the General Post Office, Washington, D.C., doubtless like the little toy dog in Eugene Field's poem, covered with dust. Oni, by the way, is the only mascot ever adopted by the Postal Service as a whole. So that's remarkable. Oni, another famous railroad dog that Lincoln Killian must have read about. That's Oni. But then again, we have, and by the way, this is the Bipolar Express, and this is Train Singer reading about railroad dogs, because I just got a new doggy, and I'm so into them. So, all right, this one, I love the name. This is called Admiral Dewey. Admiral Dewey, I love it. Perhaps the most famous rail dog known to the New York, New Haven, and Hartford was Admiral Dewey, a small black and white fox terrier, one of the many animals named for the hero of Manila Bay. He belonged to Miss Catherine J. Hughes, assistant agent for the New Haven Road at Rye, New York. One day, the admiral grew restless. Evidently, the suburban village on Long Island Sound was too placid for him, though he followed a train man to Portchester and later was brought back to his mistress. Again and again, Admiral Dewey gave vent to an urge to travel. Catherine had this inscription put on his collar: "Pass Admiral Dewey to Rye," as a gentle hint for train crews to send him back home. Now, sometimes engine men let the little fellow ride in their cabs. Often he took a round trip to Boston. And there were times when the Admiral would be away from Rye for a month. On more than one occasion, he'd get off one train there, look into the station to make sure Catherine was all right, and board the next train to wherever it would take him. Railroaders estimated that in 3 years, he traveled about 50,000 miles by rail. Finally, one day in 1902, he climbed onto a large railroad float in Harlem, you know, the kind of barge that hauls freight cars over the river, and was seen riding a delivery wagon in Jersey City. But from that time on, the recorded life of Admiral Dewey is a blank. Oh, my. I hope you're enduring. I hope you're enjoying these railroad stories of dogs. And we still have some more time on this show for a couple more stories. And then it's back to train songs by me, the train singer. Ooh. By the way, Greg and Train have decided to become Santa Claus on the Skunk Train's Christmas. So Mike Burgess and Shorty and Greg Schindel, train singer, are going to be Santas on the train. So you've got to get and see us. We can't hardly wait to be Santa Claus. Well, we'll see about that. Maybe it's
not as much fun as you think, Greg. Oh, come on.
Wait, okay. So here's another dog, and this one is called Roxy. Remember Roxy? And Roxy? Where Roxy? 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 Here we go. Wonderful little magazine. Thank you again, Betty, for sending this to me. I was able to keep it. It's valuable. Another dog. All right. Is this it? Is that it? Yes, it is. It says Roxy. Another dog story is connected with the Long Island Railroad. On a hot August day in 1901, in the Long Island City Station, passengers were hurried along the platform to board a train. Among them was a smartly dressed young woman carrying a bag and a parasol in one hand and a little mongrel pup under the other arm. She stopped at the baggage car and delivered the pup to baggage man Stryker.
"Now you take good care of him till we get to Rosslyn," she said with a winsome smile, fishing through her bag for money. "He followed me onto the ferry boat and I've decided to adopt him."
Well, Mr. Stryker promised, but the dog, evidently unused to baggage cars and eager to rejoin his new mistress, broke loose at Florida Park and climbed into a train going the other way. Conductor Caldwell saw him in a coach and, unable to locate the owner, turned him over to the baggage man. The pup was not happy in that baggage car either. He took French leave at the Garden City Station. Station agent Heaney found him howling outside the depot. He took him in and named him Roxy. Now, the agent was fond of dogs and treated that one well, but Roxy was not at ease. He'd lie curled up in the telegraph bay, probably dreaming of his beautiful lady, until the train came in. Then he'd go out, sniff at the women passengers, and return dejectedly to Heaney's office. Aw, poor doggy. One day, Roxy set out on another tour of exploration. Climbing onto a train, he rode to Hempstead at the end of a branch line. There, a conductor recognized Heaney's dog and hauled him back to Garden City. And after that, Roxy made several fruitless attempts to Hempstead, apparently still in quest of the girl he left behind, each time returning to Garden City. Then he changed his itinerary. He traveled to Long Island City, to the very place where he had parted from his benefactress. After roaming around in the waiting room disconsolately, he followed a trainman across the street to the railroad YMCA, and there he was identified as Heaney's pet, fed, bedded down in the lobby, and later carried back to Garden City. Well, by this time, railmen all over Long Island system had become aware that Roxy was looking for a young lady who had taken a train to Roslyn one day in August 1901. For baggage, man Stryker had told the boys what little he knew about the dog. Heaney even made a trip to Roslyn with the little animal. They walked up one street and down another along near country roads, the agent making inquiries wherever they went, the animal straining at his leash to sniff pretty dresses, but nothing came of it. After that, the lonely, restless creature renewed the search by himself, and men at the Railroad Y in Long Island City donated money to buy him a silver-plated collar on which was engraved Roxy, the Railroad Dog. Nelson Jones, superintendent of the Y, presented the collar in the presence of the gang. It was virtually Roxy's pass to ride. LIRR trains at will. Now, train men and engine men honored his pass. Gate men and cinder dicks looked the other way when four little paws pattered toward a train. and brass hats winked at the technical violation of company rules. The Long Island Railroad was a corporation with a heart. Its resources were put at the disposal of one desolate little mutt. Roxy took full advantage of his privilege, and for years, he traversed the shining rails. He's said to have visited every station on the main line from Long Island City to Flatbush Avenue, Brooklyn, to Sandy Montauk on the far eastern tip of the fish-shaped island, and all the branches. But this statement is open to question. Certainly, he did visit a large number of stations, but now and then he dropped in to see Mr. Heaney at Garden City. And after spending a day or two with an acquaintance along the route, maybe a station agent, a signal tower operator, a crossing watchman, or a postmaster, he would take a notion to go on the depot in that town and meet a certain train. And when the train showed up, well, Roxy would scramble aboard, occupy a seat, if no one was vacant, or lie in the aisle. And when he heard a trainman call a station name that interested him, he'd perk up his eyes, his ears, and slide over to the door and make ready to unload at the next stop. Then he'd again visit a while and eventually repeat the performance. Well, railfaring men and women considered it good luck to entertain Roxy. On rare occasions, the dog rode engine cabs, but he much preferred coaches where young ladies traveled.
I kind of like that myself.
Even a president befriended this restless animal. Teddy Roosevelt. He liked to tell about the time a porter found Roxy curled up on his bed in a private car that was to take him to the summer home in Oyster Bay. Now, the porter, it seems, was indignant. He would have ejected the beast with scant ceremony, but the conductor, who happened to be in the car at the time, pointed to the silver engraved collar and said that Roxy was the pet of all trainmen on the road. Mr. Roosevelt himself walked in then, heard the story, and allowed the creature to stay. But Roxy had his share of woe. One day in 1904 at Hempstead, he was run over by a tandem bicycle and slightly injured. He soon recovered. Then about a year later, near Long Island City,
An automobile broke one of his legs. A well-to-do society matron, Mrs. James Kermochin of Hempstead, sent him to an animal hospital where the leg healed in a plaster cast, paid the bill. After that, Roxy continued to ride trains and sniff at women passengers.
Ugh, rough.
For 12 years, the restless dog wandered up and down Railroad Avenue, forever seeking the parasol lady. I wish I could say that he found her at the last, but he never did. Old age gradually stiffened his joints, and the injured leg caused a bit of trouble. Roxy was tired, very tired, and one day, 1913, he went to sleep at the Merrick Depot. Maybe he thought that after he'd rested a while, he would get up and continue the long search, but he never awoke. They buried him there on the station grounds. A granite tombstone still marks the spot, and it was paid for by a small group of women, and on it were the words, Roxy, the railroad dog. Oh, my. You know, I think it's been great reading these stories. And there's still one more about Patty, but I have a few minutes. Let's see if we can read one more story. I'd hate to leave anything out here. It's all about the dogs and Greg. I mean, Greg, you going to allow me to? Yes, you can do whatever you want, train. Okay, what page are we looking for? 279. Click, click, click. Oh, dog, how much is that doggy and the wah-wah? The one with the waggly. Find the page, Greg. Yeah, I'm trying. This is Chief Filler. I'm singing. Come on. Oh, there it is. Okay, the last but not least, Patty. I hope it's not a long one. Okay, where is it? Patty, yes. Patty was a mascot of a track gang on the Camas Prairie Railroad in Idaho. Now, the claim was made that no section worker knew his right-of-way better than Patty, and I'm inclined to believe it. This dog helped to patrol at a 76-mile stretch between Lewiston and Stiles. One day in 1917, when he was 10 years old, he found a small landslide covering the rails and hot-footed it around a curve to where the boys were working. And by persistent barking, he induced them to follow him and thus prevented what might have been a serious train wreck. Oh, nor was this all. 4 years later, the animal discovered a boulder on the track and again brought help to the scene. Both train crews and passengers were safer when Patty was on board and on the job. Wow. So there you go. You know, when you hear that old Irish song, Patty worked on the railroad? I thought it was about the Irish workers, but maybe it was all about a little D.O.G. Hey, this has been Railroad Day, Railroad Dog Day, Railroad Dog Day Afternoon on the Bipolar Express with me, Train Singer, on KLLG LP 97. And up here in Willits, 0.9. I didn't mean to slur that. I just kind of happened that way. So, oh, let's play a little music. I love these train stuff. You know, K.C. Jonah was a mighty man. Now he's living in the promised land. Only music he could understand. It was a 6-8 wheeler on a hill. Come and meet the freight train boogie. All the time. Whoo, I said the freight train boogie as it rolled down the line. He said a woo woo, a wah wah, woo woo, a wah wah, woo woo, a wah wah, whoa whoa. Hey, freight train boogie as it rolled down the line. Firemen started to ring the bell on the people hung around so they could tell that Casey Jones was a coming to town on a 6-8 wheeler flat on the ground. He made the freight train boogie all the time. Woo, freight train boogie as it rolls down the line. He heard the woo woo, wah wah, whoa whoa, wah wah, woo woo, wah wah, woo woo. Freight train boogie as it rolled down the line. Firemen started ringing. Whoa, wake up all the people all along the night. Oh Lord, how you can make that whistle whine. It says to a fireman, I'll hold your beat. I wanna make that driver do the boogie beat. They made the freight train boogie all the time. Oh, freight train boogie as it rolled down the line. Woo!
a good tune, I gotta say. Freight Train Boogie. Now I want to get a little bit more of that Freight Train action right here. Yeah, so it's two. It should be somewhere around 208 or 209 when I'm done, right? Is that correct? I'm just queuing up with my engineer here, Mike Burgess. He's giving me a little extra time right here. Woo, woo, woo. It's one of my favorite ones. Well, I listen to the whistle, lie awake and wait. Wish the railroad didn't run so near. The rattle and the clatter of that old fast freight keeps making music in my ear. Go bomb again, bomb again. Ooh, yeah. The whistle blows. That whistle blow, whoa, whoa, clickety clack, clickety clack. The wheels are saying to the railroad track, here we go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. Here we go, you can't come back. If you go. Well, I wouldn't give a nickel for the bum I used to be. Work as hard as any man in town. I've got a pretty gal, thinks the world of me. Man, to be a fool to let her down. Go bum again, go bum again. Ooh. Yeah. That whistle blow. That whistle blow, clickety clack, clickety clack. The wheels are saying to the railroad track, if you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go. Now I lie awake and listen, and I wonder if she's late. In my dreams I'm riding on that train. I hear my pulse beating with that old fast freight. Thank the Lord I'm just a bum again. Oh, bum again. Oh, bum again. Ooh. Yeah. Paris will blow. That whistle blow, whoa, 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 clickety-clack, clickety-clack. Wheels are swinging the railroad track. Here we go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go. Jenny was a little girl, she only dreamed of trains. Didn't play with dolls or those lacy kind of things. Jenny counted boxcars and stared counting sheep. She could go anywhere when she went to sleep. All she ever talked about was getting on to ride. Living in another time, you could see it in her eyes, and every day after school she would walk down to the track, wait for a train that was never coming back. But Jenny dreamed of trains,
When the night time came, well, nobody knew how she made it come true. Ah, Jenny dreamed a train. The depot's all boarded up and the rails have turned to rust. Hasn't been a train through here since the mill went bust. No one believed her when she said she heard a train. Just a little girl acting kind of strange. But Jenny dreamed of trains when the night time came. Nobody knew how she made it come true. Ah, Jenny, dream a train. Jenny laid a penny on the track one day. God we trust, and she walked away. The very next morning, all that she could find, a little piece of copper, squashed flatter than a dime. 'Cause Jenny dreamed of trains when the night time came. Nobody knew how she made it come true. Oh, Jenny dreamed a train. Nobody knew how she made it come true. Jenny dreamed a train. Hey, this is the Train Singer saying, I hope you have a wonderful evening. Another day tomorrow. Tune in on Saturday at 10 p.m., and Sunday at 8 p.m. And I hope you're listening to this live show. It is Thursday. And by the way, I'm Mike. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. See you on the Skunk Train, Santa.